This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Oh, rolling.
Should I be calm or really?
It's up to you, Dan. You
really energetic.
You bring it, Dan.
I could go at a medium pace too.
Whatever's happening, this is being recorded and this stays. So just so you know.
Gosh.
Yeah, Tim, this is all in.
Maybe I'll give him something fresh. Welcome back to the Trim Healthy Podcast with Serene, Pearl, and I'm Danny Valdez. The weather's about 50 degrees here in South Nashville, Tennessee. And we have what we call the Spring of Deception, where we get a taste of beautiful weather and we all rejoice, but then slowly descend into depression and mental anxiety as the cold winter grips our soul. Once again, we hope you're doing well out there in the world, and we want to welcome the girls once again to their own podcast. Girls, take it away.
Thank you, Pilot. Pilot Party Dan.
That was the ASMR version. Just if you want, just go back, start the podcast over, turn your volume way up, get close to the speaker, and soothe your soul. Yeah, you're going to feel the tingles.
What if they don't want to?
No, so, I mean, ASMR is a thing. People get into this.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I have a little thought for all of you scripture haters.
Ah, and no one's a scripture
with
hater.
The scripture. Now, see, I'm going to be associated as the scripture hater.
Because no, loves week. The scripture.
We have to go back to last
but
week.
But listen, this truth that I have is a truth that can go so practically. Leslie Pops can take truth from this home.
Our token heathen can?
She can take it home. And so I will start with the scripture. This is where the idea came from. This is where the thought process came from. This is where the truth came from, the good old word. Mm. But those people can still take it home who are pasamos.
Yeah, well, that's the way of the ancient scriptures. You take them on all levels.
So anyway, I was reading a scripture the other day, Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 to 32, and it blew me away. I saw it in a whole new light. Now, we're going to be talking about something we've talked about many times on this party, like over and over and over. But it's one of those things that I still need to tell myself over and over about this particular subject. So I'm bringing it here again today, but in a fresh way through the lens of the scripture. And I remember reading in the Bible, I think it was Paul that said, I'm going to tell you about something you already know, but it's good for you to hear it again. I mean, that was my own translation. But basically, sometimes, like we've talked about before, we've got to keep watering these revelations, watering the things we already know. So we're talking about something that we already know. You'll be like, oh, I already heard this, but it's good for you. So stick on with it. Matthew 13:31-32. The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Oh, and it just hit me. It never hit me before. I'm like, wow, this giant tree and all these branches. And one of the translations, I looked it up. It was like this massive tree, bigger than any other tree. And it just took over the space. So like it just all the other trees, just there was no sun for them anymore. And they kind of just, this was the landscape, this giant tree. The branches were just so gigantica. And this was the tree that the birds wanted to come and nest in. And I thought, wow, this reminds me of the human brain. This, you know, when we look into it, scientists can see now that the human brain is just like a giant tree with branches, network systems, synapses that look like tree branches. And I'm like, wow, this to me is like a little parable of our brain and how things just start as a small, tiny little mustard seed. Everything starts small. Even humanity, you know, starts like conception. You can't even see it. It's like microscopic. You know, it can be so exciting. You see the two lines in the text. Wow, I'm pregnant. But really, I mean, there's nothing you could even, it's not even as big as a grain of rice. You get all excited. You know, I'm 3 weeks now. There's a grain of rice, you know, size. No, but like it starts way smaller than that, way small. Everything starts small. The kingdom of heaven starts small. The kingdom of heaven starts as this tiny little mustard seed. And so I was just thinking about this, thinking of this mustard seed truth. It starts small, but if it's watered, And if it's fertilized, it can become this huge tree, the largest of all the trees. And the branch system so magnificent. And then the birds can come and rest. And I thought, what are the birds? Because in my little parable now in my head, I'm like, well, they're my thoughts. Because they're the things that dart across. They're flying through the sky. And they get to land on this giant branch system. And that branch system now can become the filter for these birds. Like, it can be like, if it's a crazy thought, it just doesn't feel comfortable on this good branch system, right? This doesn't find a home. But if it's a good thought, it's like, okay, I can nest here because the branch system has now become my filtration system in my brain. So I hope I can explain this properly. But to me, I'm like, I can build a tree system in my brain. I get to choose what sequoia tree it will be. I get to choose if it's just going to be this wonderful, I can choose if the kingdom of heaven is inside of my brain. Or I can choose to be a monolithic, depressant, huge, dark tree with these branches covered with briars and thorns. And the thoughts that dart through my brain, it can trap them. And what if there are negative thoughts? What if they're thoughts of fear? But this sequoia tree of depression is just kind of like, it doesn't filter them out properly. So I don't know if I'm like explaining it properly, but I started to think with matching it with science, how our brain is just a whole network of branches. And the more you water a thought, the more you think about a thought, the more concrete those circuits become. And the less you think about something, then actually your brain actually chops down branches as you sleep. Like if you think less about something in the day, when you go to sleep, there's like glial cells in your brain that are your brain's gardeners, and they start chopping down branches that you haven't been thinking about for a while.
Am I allowed to jump in?
I don't have anything clear. I'm just bringing something.
So, you know, when you say it's a great filter, you know, like if your mind is, I would say, if the soil of your mind is like, you know, we've sort of, if you're liken it to the kingdom of heaven,
so
if you make
the field,
a kingdom,
your mind is the field.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're growing a kingdom tree,
yeah,
in your mind, and it's almost like the filter, and good things come to rest there.
Yes.
Because it's light.
Yes.
Okay. So I was just thinking that I love that analogy because, you know, this whole nutrition world that we live in is very, very confusing, even to me sometimes, because there's studies for all of the things. There's studies for every diet. Like when you come here, sometimes, Dan, you'll say, hey, so what do you think about carnivore? I'm following a few carnivore pages, you know, here and there. And we'll say what we think about it. And then, you know, another time you'll come and be like, what do you think of just plant-based, Pearl? Sorry, what do you think of that? You know, and we'll say what we think about. And I am bombarded with these things too. You know, what is really the optimum way to eat? Because they all have their studies saying if you don't eat like this, you know, then it's not the ultimate way. And as humans, we were designed to only eat this way or only eat that way. And then I think to myself, the only thing that has grounded me and given me peace, because I'm such a passionate researcher about nutrition, I want the truth. I want the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that has granted me that peace and truth is filtering it through the word.
Yeah.
And all the things that say, well, we're actually designed, you know, we're like rock and evolutionary. We weren't designed to eat the leaves, or we weren't designed to eat that grain. We weren't designed. And then I can think about that and I can look at the word. And if it tells me differently, I can say, that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't have to embrace that.
Right.
That's not truth for my mind.
Right.
I'm not going to embrace that. I'm going to filter it. And so it's been such a beautiful thing, I think, for me to embrace what you're doing, Serene, just in that one little way.
No, I just love seeing my brain like that. Everybody's brain is a big network of branches. So we are, each one of us has a giant sequoia tree in there, like the most giant, the most grandiose tree. We all have one in our brain, but we just have to decide which tree it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are we going to continue to water this monolithic structure of depression, you know, this network of negative branches? Or are we going to water the tree of life inside of our mind?
Mm-hmm.
But it all starts small. So we have to be careful about the little tiny mustard seeds.
Yes.
And be careful of what we're watering, because we do have a tree inside our head. It's basically what I see. We have a tree inside our head. And I'm going to let you speak, Dan, but that tree, I see it as this giant filter. So if it's a good filter, it filters out all the junk. If it's a bad filter, it lets all the good stuff fall through and just holds all the junk.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, keep going.
I'll continue.
Yes.
Well, the modern idea of the, you know, the kingdom of heaven, to me, I've always understood it to be centered around the afterlife, what happens after you die. And yet, when you read the ancient book, it seems to be talking about the way of life, how you exist here and now, presently. And
I think it totally does both, doesn't it?
Why really? Not both? Fine. But why eliminate? Why has the latter been so silent? Why have we not gotten really...
It's so true. Like, we're all just saved to go to heaven.
Yeah.
When it's now, and it's the saving starts now.
Well, and look at the health that follows that mindset. Yeah. If all of the good things and all of the reward and whatever it is, the destination is always after your body is planted in the earth. Well, it makes perfect sense why health is in decline, why marriages are in decline. While the things that we're walking in our daily life, they're often falling apart in modern societies. People are mentally breaking down. In fact, they're saying
mentally break down before you physically break down every time.
Every time. And they're saying now that we're at like such a height of a mental health crisis. There's documentaries on where most college kids are on Adderall. Most.
Really?
This is most. I'm not talking about, you know, and you'll have colleges and pockets where it's not the case. But I mean, if the data is right in these documentaries, which all we can go by is them and internet research, then that is an alarming statistic. And this idea, I love that picture of the tree in your mind. You know, if you get your the right camera, right, and you can sort of strip away the skin and muscle, you see this brain, right, that has its own tree branches in. And then this whole, what's the system called with all of...
Cardiovascular?
The cardiovascular circular, system or the... Yeah, there's these branches going, extending through the body. And so everything else is like wrapped around this system.
Yes.
And like, if you look at people, you know, with, let's say you had a special glasses that could sort of strip away the exterior, you would see this brain and this branch system walking about, moving about the earth. And so... Here's what's crazy, Ville, okay, is that you can decide how those branches will begin to connect and move and behave.
Yes.
And when you do, there will be this electromagnetic crackling, sparkling energy that begins to just come from seemingly nowhere. And here's the crazy part, is that something not the brain is making that decision for the brain to do that. The brain, like some may argue, no, the brain makes its own decision, right? But it seems to be, if you really, for a much longer podcast, but if you follow through the process of thought, then this is, I mean, scientists are saying this, go do your own research, but thought is, it's not proven that that your thought originates in your brain. There's many arguments that thought actually stems from the heart. There's thinking neurons in your heart. And so, you know, we have eyes that are in our head. And so we associate all of our being, all of our way, if you will, with our skull, because that's where the eyes are. But if you had eyes in your elbow, you might scratch your elbow and say, let me think about that. You know, if your eyes were down there, it's just where you're seeing, you attach all this meaning behind the place of your sight. But something not the eye sees through these eyes of ours.
I believe that. But our brain is like the practice thoughts. It's like, well, because the mustard seed, right?
Executive
maybe that
function
comes from somewhere, the heart or whatever it comes from. But it depends if it's watered or not.
My image is that it's beamed from space.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene and Pearl. Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Just to give kudos to cousin Ben here,
cousin Benny,
yeah, the new peep in the room, is he said if you want to remember something, you got to put what they call a memory peg in your brain, and it's a memory peg is more of a visual picture, and it helps you because I always think to myself, I've got to remember to think positively and to do that. And I think I've read all the books on the science of it, and I've read the scripture about it, and I'm like yes, and sometimes I just step back and forget for a day and think all kinds of stupid thoughts, right? But now I've got this thanks to this wonderful parable in Matthew, I have this memory peg in my brain. Because all I think now is, have I got a good tree in there or a really bad tree? Like, because it's a tree.
And I
want it to be a tree of life. I want it to be the kingdom of heaven because I want it to be the right branch system for these thoughts that are just flying through. I want it to be the right branch system for them to perch upon and get like hiffed out of there, or they can build a nest, you know? And so I wrote down just a couple of little things. I'm not going to read it teleprompter style, but I was just thinking to myself as I was thinking about this verse, and I wrote, our mind is just such fertile soil. So is it mustard seeds of the word? Because it only has to start small, just has to be watered. Or is it mustard seeds of doubt?
When you say word for the Psalms, you mean scriptures.
Scripture, true ancient truth. Or is it mustard seed of doubt, of deception, of negativity, of the world's sheep follow sheep thinking, which is, you know, so-called wisdom these days? Is it mustard seeds of depression, or is it mustard seeds of joy? So, I mean, is it mustard seeds of can'ts or of I cans? Is it mustard seeds of healing or defeat? Is it the mustard seed to plant a bright future or to grow the weeds of the past? And so I have this new thing now that, but what seed am I putting inside of this field that's of my brain? And what tree is it going to be growing into? And because everything that's so small ends up growing to a place where it has a massive impact, like massive impact. We think some little negative thought one day, but maybe it's a thought that ends up, you know, destroying our health. And I really want to give an example of that, because many of us in our lives, we sow mustard seeds in our health journey that grow to this huge stumbling block, this big sequoia tree, and it becomes a stumbling block in our way. And we want to keep going along in a health path, but this giant tree is just there. We hate it. We want around it, but we don't realize that we're the ones watering it. We don't realize it. We're like, oh, I want to get past this.
Who we? The brain?
No, us.
I think there's a we outside of the brain.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I agree. But I'm just saying that many of us in our health journey, we end up with this big obstacle in our way, many of us, many times, and we don't want it there, but we don't realize we're the ones that planted it. And so we're getting to that point where we're realizing that we can replant and we can hack down.
Yeah, this tree.
Yeah, yeah.
But the we is outside of it.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Space we.
Mm-hmm. And so I want to give an example of this, just an example, and then I want to have a little story of Pearly Pops, but maybe we get a diagnosis of something and our network synapses in our brain receive the information. Like the little birdie comes through with the information, I've just got this diagnosis, you know, and the network branches, they process the information. They let the little birdie plant there, that nest there as defeat. There is no giant tree of and branch system of hope or faith or encouragement. The branches are thorn covered traps. They trap the negative emotions. That fear and anxiety becomes the fragrance of the atmosphere. All of life's difficulty is made greater by being trapped in this branch system. All darts of darkness are left trapped in the tree of our minds to poison the life right out of us. It's become a giant tree, a roadblock to health.
Oh, wow. So I get what you're saying now. I've been sort of following along mostly, but now that you put that picture, so let's just say this diagnosis comes. It could come to anyone, right? Yeah. But if you had a tree of life, right? Tree planted on scriptures, there would be already in the branches faith.
Yeah.
There would be hope.
Yes.
There would be belief and healing.
Yes.
There would be all these things. And this diagnosis can come, but it doesn't, it's not really faced with the practice thoughts of fear, of scare, you know, being of worry. It's not there because though that's not in the branches.
No. So then I said, let's switch this around. We get the same diagnosis. Our network synapses in our brain receive this information as something that cannot be accepted.
Yeah.
The giant network of branches of scripture, of strength and positivity, of faith and fight and of resilience cannot compute the word defeat. They cannot abide negative emotions. Fear, gloom, and depression are foreign and get sent flying out of the emotional atmosphere. This huge tree of life filling your mind and feeding this life to every cell in your body cannot compute this as defeat. And I want to tell an example with Pearl, your story. About the time you got the diagnosis, you've said it so many times, but it warrants being said again. How you got that diagnosis of thyroid precancerous cells.
Yeah.
And you were having like heart palpitations all through the night. You couldn't sleep. You couldn't exercise because your heart was jumping out of your chest. You were weak and you basically had used yourself as a guinea pig and you'd been taking these high amounts of iodine.
Yeah, and that was part of it.
Yeah, and there was very, and New Zealanders apparently have some of the lowest iron, iodine content in the soil. So when you started administering it to you, your thyroid soaked it up like a sponge. This is apparently what happened, right? And you got like a excess, which caused you to have Graves' disease, right? But you got it. You got this Graves' disease. And that
you
diagnosis.
You had Graves' disease?
Yeah. And it's a very scary diagnosis. It's not a good diagnosis.
Sounds
and they
it,
wanted
yeah.
to take her whole thyroid out. She was at the surgery clinic waiting in the waiting room. And
but are you going to say that when I first got this diagnosis, I had a tree of life in there? Because I didn't already have the tree of life that well.
No, but I'm just trying to say.
Yes.
You went to a help group on the internet.
Yes.
And all those people had giant sequoia trees of depression. So their diagnosis had come to perch on a tree of depression.
Yes.
And they're all saying, what Graves have stolen on me? Graves have stolen my children because I have no energy to play with. Graves have stolen my marriage because blah, blah, blah. Graves has stolen my future, my job, my everything. And basically you got off there and you're like, Graves is not going to steal anything from me. Because guess what? You did have a tree in there.
I did, but I didn't know how to water it.
You had a tree in there. You had a tree that was so somehow from your childhood, from scripture, from wherever. You were not going to accept this. Mm-hmm. You had a confidence that this was not going to be your future. And then you started watering.
Yeah, I did.
You put some mustard seed scriptures in there and you started watering it. You walk right out of that thing. Mm-hmm. Like you don't have it today because you chose that you weren't going. So, but if you didn't have that, I mean, you might have had a baby tree in there. You started watering. But if you didn't have that, but you'd already built up a giant monolithic tree of darkness, you would have been on that help group saying what Graves had stolen from you.
I wouldn't be sitting here healthy and whole. Yes. That's for sure.
So I want to say that, you know, that some people, we have roadblocks in our health, but it's the tree.
Mm.
You know, we think, oh, I've got Graves' disease. Graves' disease wasn't a roadblock to you. And it was, you know, if you'd had that depressive tree in your brain, that would have been your roadblock.
Yes.
Because you walked out of it by the positivity, by the faith, by the fight, by all the, you know, practical things that you did because you chose to fight and because you chose that there was going to be a future
for
your life.
If you're sitting here listening to us, think, you know, and you're thinking, man, that's spooky. They just say, you know, think something and it will be. I thought that I wouldn't have Graves' disease. There's actually truth to that. But it's the hope that enables you and the belief that enables you to do practical things too.
Mm-hmm.
It's both.
Yeah. And so a lot of people, they, you know, their roadblock is really not their conditions as much as their attitudes is what I want to say.
You know,
you know, and even for simple things, maybe it's not a diagnosis. Maybe it's just the understanding that you haven't eaten a salad in like a month, you know, and you got this little, this information that passes through, flies through your brain. You really should start eating salads, Serene. But if I have this tree branch system, there's a branch system of excuses, of reasonings, of negativity. Well, why start now? Because even if I get on a salad kick, I usually get off of it. I'm always a bit of a failure to diets. And I've had a hard week, so I really need comfort food and blah, 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 blah.
And I really don't like salads.
Yes.
I never did.
And I don't have money for organic greens. And I don't want to just have any greens because that's not going to do me anything. Or you could have this wonderful tree of life inside of you that computes that information. I need to eat more greens. It's like, oh, of course I should. I've had a really hard week. So I'm going to nurture myself with nourishing foods.
So how then, obviously this tree of life, and you've laid it out really well, Serene, is something we all need, but it's going to take time to grow it,
oh,
right?
Oh, it's no stress too.
What if we've got this? What if we've got the big giant tree of darkness in here because we've practiced it and watered it? And now someone's listening and they're like, oh my goodness, I do have a tree of darkness in my brain. I need the other one. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
This is what I love about our minds. We don't have to even worry about that dark tree anymore. We don't have to think about it. We don't even have to get a big axe. We don't work on the problems.
Mm.
We work on watering the new one. And that starves out the junk, bad monolithic tree. So, I mean, God knew we weren't meant to work on our big bad selves. He just killed our big bad selves off. right? We died on the cross with him.
Oh, I love
because
it,
we can't work on our the more we work on our problems, the more we concentrate on the problems, the more we feel defeated by our problems, the more we become our problems. I've found that whenever I tried to work on a problem on my own, I just get so hyper-focused on it, the problem gets way huger.
So we just feed the beautiful
tree. We just feed the beautiful.
I love that. And Sereni,
it's that mustard seed. Now we're just going to water the mustard seed. And it doesn't matter if it starts small. Maybe we don't have big faith. Maybe we don't have big positivity. Maybe we can't even smile big. Maybe we can only lift a corner of one side of our mouth. That's a mustard seed.
Do you know
it's
what?
It's a small beginning. We just
do you know
water
that's
it.
So funny that you say that? Because I always literally believe this about myself, even though we're pastors kids and I grew up, you know, with scripture, obviously. But I actually believe that I was one of those people like Thomas, doubting Thomas in the Bible. I always said, well, I don't have a big faith. I used to pray for faith because I just thought naturally I'm a low faith person. You know, some people are natural high faith.
Like low
I'm
tea.
A natural skeptic. Yeah, natural low
like
tea.
Like it's measurable.
I'm a natural, let's just see about that. You know, like I always pictured myself like Thomas. Yeah, I'd be the one wanting to feel the scars too, you know. And so then I realized, no, I don't want to be the low faith person. I want to be the high faith person because I started studying science and that you really need to be a high faith person to be whole and healthy. You got to. Okay. So then I thought, well, I better pray for faith. And that didn't really work either. And then I realized it doesn't matter if I'm low or high faith. The mind of Christ, which he said he'll give to me, is high faith. It's the highest faith in the world. So I don't even need to worry about increasing my own faith. I didn't need to worry about my own words of faith. What he gives to me is the highest faith in the world. And when I wear it, I'm the stinkinest, faithiest person that is out there.
Let's go.
Yeah.
And as I wore that,
it
became my identity. Mm-hmm. And I'm not like, sometimes I forget to wear it. But man, when I do and I remind myself, it's just so incredible. And I want to say one thing about the science. I was listening to this podcast this morning. Sereni, I sent some of it to you. That was great. About the GLP-1, the peptide. But all the way through, I was just like, oh, I was listening to the shower. And I was just praising. It's not a Christian podcast, but it was blowing my mind.
There's some really good, good secular love songs that I'm just like worshiping God to, man. Things don't have to be Christian for me to get get anointing oil all pouring down me.
Nathalie Nidham is a biohacking podcast. Yeah. It's what I kind of like to listen to for just interest's sake. It's called the Superhuman Podcast, I believe. But she was interviewing this man called Dr. Dan Stickler. He's an MD and he's done pretty much all. He's very advanced in what he calls longevity, not anti-aging anymore. Yeah. People don't really like that word. But he's been in all sorts of medicine and now this is what he does. He helps people and he has a practice somewhere. And really, he helps some of the richest people in the world. They come to him because he's so in depth and he does monitors their heartbeat, like everything that they do all month long. Mm-hmm. He knows exactly what they do.
Wow.
He helps them. He transforms their health, their diet and everything. But he said, you know what? He said, the more I learn about medicine, the more I unlearn. And he was just talking about how there's this study and that study, but it's not that.
Yeah.
What we've learned is it's how the mind thinks.
Yes.
And he said, when I give a questionnaire for people who come to me, I'm not really questioning. I do question some things about their physical stuff, but we can do that. You know, we can go from A to B and move on. But I question where they're at. Where is their mind at? And you know one of the biggest questions I ask them? Because he wants to get them to be believers, to be faith people, to look at the joys of life. And he said, I asked them, when was your last moment of awe? A-W-E, awe.
You had to say it American.
Yeah, because I say awe.
Like, what are you saying?
Like, you know, Americans say awe. And we say awe.
Yeah.
But A-W-E. And a lot of them, he said, I have billionaires come to my practice and I'll ask them, when was your last moment of awe?
Oh, please say it normal. Thank you.
And they don't know. And one thing we do in my medical practice, he said, is have them practice awe and it will come back to them.
Wow.
And he said, and it's like what you, Ben, and I have been talking about every day. But he's like, I experienced awe this morning when I walked outside and looked at the sun.
Mm.
And it was awe. And so awe is there.
Can you just say it like an Australian?
Awe
thank you.
Is there when you look for it and when you seek it, you will find it.
Yes.
And it's so important for your health. He's looking at it from a health perspective.
It needs to be watered, right?
It does need to be watered. That's what he's saying. He said, we don't find it if we don't look for it.
Yeah, but you don't have to, you don't have to hack down disappointment. You don't have to hack down skepticism. All you have to do is water awe.
Yes, the awe. Like that your child ran up to you and gave you a hug. That's awe, you know? I mean, what your husband said to you last night, or just looking at the sun, or just looking at the moon.
He gave me a hug last night when he came from work. I started thinking, the awe of just wonderful chemistry between a man and a woman.
I thought that today. You know, as we left, Serene, we were at our house, my house for a meeting. Yeah. And then you guys walked out, and then Charlie grabbed me and just hugged me just before we came to the party, because he's like, well, you're going to the party, I'm going to hug you. And I was like, I don't know. It's like, oh, like how could I be worthy of this? That he would just do this when I'm walking like 100 steps away.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to let me go.
Mm-hmm. Or like when you're petting a cat.
Yeah, kind I'm just of. Kidding. But yes. But yes, Danny. Yes. But you know, these are the things.
Or in the simple
these
things.
Are the things he said that are mightier for our health. Oh, when you do the practical things, when you eat right, and when you do, these are the things that come into play.
And that's the picture that Dan said, right? If we could take the skin off and see this in our minds, this branch system, this tree, but it just doesn't end there. There is the roots that go down, the circulatory system that seem like the roots that go down into every single part of our being. And what begins here, well, I don't care, Dan, let's go deeper for your sake,
whether
it begins in the heart.
Thank you.
Or it begins from a space monster.
No,
he wants to say space monster.
You're not listening. It begins in space.
Okay, so wherever it begins, that tree, that mustard seed, boy, was there a cow bashing into the barn?
I can prove it with your Bible.
Good.
We are seated in heavenly places.
That's right.
Where are you seated, Serene?
In heavenly places. Okay, so this giant tree, but it has a root system. It connects. We are soul, mind, and body.
Yeah, we are.
Science proves it over and over. You can't just separate your thoughts from your physicality anymore.
And he said we're so linear. Doctors are still so linear. He said it's got to change. It has to change, because he said it doesn't make sense. You're never fixing anyone.
I know Pearl would be a problem girl right now.
Problem girl.
You had not had watered a mustard seed that grew a tree of belief. Belief in the blood of Christ, yes. Those Pasamos who aren't there yet, positivity isn't as powerful as that, but it still works.
It's good, yeah.
There's science to that too. And so, you know, it's we just have to choose what tree is going to be in our mind, a tree of life or a tree of death, really.
Really?
Choose, you know. Didn't one scripture in the Bible say,
choose you this day.
Choose you this day who you may serve. And I just feel like we serve our minds, actually. We become slaves to whatever's in our minds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 31 minutes and 47 seconds. We're middle ground today.
Congrats,
John put his coat on.
It was such a sign. I felt John. I do get very strong vibes from John when we're done or when we're not, though.
Yeah, it's like when somebody starts jingling their keys. I mean, John just put his jacket on.
It was over when he put his jacket on.
He's saying it has nothing to do with the end of like wanting to wrap it up, but it's...
But we had wrapped because Serene was starting to repeat the beginning.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
I was doing Pastor Colin Campbell, so I knew it was time.
I was starting to pass the communion elements and repeat the whole sermon.
And then start over. It's like the communion reminds you of everything you just said, and what better reason than to say it again.
Say it again, mate.
That's right.
See ya.